Hey, Adelaide take on Collingwood Thursday night. Prime time, national TV audience, sold out stadium, clubs on the rebound, a huge game. Honestly, in the...
No, this is the game.
The scheme of things, a huge game for a lot of reasons. Joining us is club great Mark Bickley. Skip, thanks for your time.
G'day, Steve. How are you, Chris?
Hey, am I overplaying this game's importance?
Oh, no. No, it's very important for a whole range of reasons. Not the least the fact that we need to see a response from a really, really disappointing game last week. And, you know, it's... whilst we had a break and it's a good chance to refresh, there's been nothing worse than having to sit on it for 10 or 11 days and know that the last time we ran out, we served that up. So the day can't come quick enough for our players to get out there and hopefully show some redemption.
Yeah, the team's had, well, it'll be 10 days on the Thursday to lick its wounds and work on things. What exactly have you honed in that you really need to work on and get right immediately?
Oh, look, I don't think that, it's any different than all the things we're always trying to refine. But clearly, in the first half, our use of the ball and our decision making was really poor. So, you know, I think we kicked at 47% and 48% for the first and second quarter, which effectively means every second kick you give it back to the opposition. Now, it doesn't matter what game style you have. If you do that, you cannot operate. And now we need to say to ourselves, well, why does that happen, and how does that happen, and particularly when, you know, our starts haven't been great, and, you know, we looked at that and wanted to make sure that it didn't happen, and clearly we weren't able to rectify it. So that's got to be an area for us, to make sure that that intensity is there for obviously the start, and then to carry that on for the whole four quarters.
Is it a challenge then, Mark, sort of identifying what is working so that you just don't, I guess, overburden the group with all the negatives? Because you know what it's like. You can just keep on finding the negatives. You've got to find a positive along the way as well.
Oh, yeah. I think you like every team has their key performance indicators, which they believe that if they do those things well, that serves them really well. And that, and generally there's four or five that are pretty commonly known within the competition if you look at all the stats now, the top four or five teams rank in the top half a dozen for most of those key stats. So, sure. You know, we look at them and some of those we're represented pretty well, but clearly in the, not just the first half, but for the whole game last week, we were really poor with our decision making. We bombed the ball inside 450. We had 60 something entries, and you know, took a handful of marks, and you know, only kicked 8 or 9 goals. So clearly, we have to do that a lot better.
How much is that personnel?
Well, the personnel was pretty similar to the team that had won the 3 weeks previous. Obviously, Tom Lynch went down early, but you know, he still had Jenkins. He still had Podsy Adley and Betts and those guys. So they need to lift and perform better. And you know, obviously it's, you know, we get the all things being equal, Taylor Walker comes back into the side, which is a real bonus talent wise but also emotionally, you know, for the team. I think everyone's looking forward to having that along with our supporters. So you know, we're pretty buoyant about you know, Thursday, and it's going to be a big day for the club.
I guess the question was probably should have been more like, we've seen you against, I guess, what teams we would consider to be non-top eight teams and handle them okay. It's probably a matter of where the club sees themselves. Are you a top eight contender or a team that is just trying to build their game and not worry about the premiership ladder? And where do you see the team sitting at the moment?
Look, I think it's not one and it's not all of them, or it is all of them. It's, you know, obviously you're trying to put your best team out there each week, and you're trying to, you know, have your personnel play the best footy they can, and you're always adjusting your game style. But clearly, whilst you're doing that, you're still trying to amass as many wins as you can, so you give yourself a chance to play in the top eight. And clearly, at the start of the year, we expected to play finals footy this year because we weren't good enough last year. And we needed to rectify it. So, we're still doing that. And, look, we've been a little bit unlucky with some personnel who haven't been able to get on the park for one reason or another. And I guess when that happens is what you have to do is you rely on your depth and you rely on being able to hang in there and still grind out and win games of footy so that when those players come back and you get close to your best team on the park, you can, you know, you're in the mix still to play finals. If you're waiting to have your best team on the park and playing its best before you can compete for the finals, you could be waiting a long time. So, you know, for us, we probably haven't done that well enough. Our you know, our depth has probably been tested a bit, and some guys have come through and done some really good things and consolidated their spots, and others have struggled to do that. So, you know, that's what we continue to do, give people opportunities to cement their place in the side.
There'll be 50,000 fans Thursday night, hoping you start well. The Crows play a different game when they're behind and the challenge is ahead of them, Skip. So I'm wondering whether you can say, listen, guys, you're 5 goals down. I don't know, we get the big old scoreboard there with, oh, the 5 goals down, Skip.
Look, yeah, it's obviously not ideal. We shouldn't be laughing about it, should I? But it makes it so hard when you put yourself behind the eight ball, and clearly teams can adjust their game style like Melbourne did. Once you get 4 or 5 goals in front, it's, you know, you can get players behind the ball and you can clog up opposition's forward lines, and that's what they did pretty much. Well, that's the game style they play, and when they're in front, it's fine. But the week before, when they played Sydney and did that, Sydney were 4 or 5 in front, and they could put all the numbers they wanted in their defence, but they weren't able to score. So, you know, we definitely dug ourselves a really big hole, and we struggled to get out of it. So clearly that's had some emphasis this week, and we understand that we've got to start the game with some real intensity. Now, when you look at the starts, it's not one thing. You know, there's been games where we've kicked the first goal in the first 5 minutes you're in front, then there's been other games where it's been from the 10-minute mark to the 20-minute mark, then there's been games where it's been the 20 to the 30. So there's not one thing, but it's just having that consistency of effort for the whole quarter or the whole start of the match, and then have that carry on through the whole game. That's the challenge.
We'll drill down on the forward line, Skip, because that's what you're in charge of. But just before that, we had Sando on last Monday on 5AA. He had this to say.
They were really, really lazy to get to the contest, and we can't cop that. We've got to be better than that. We're kidding ourselves if we think that's going to compete with the top sides.
Yeah, what do you say about that, using the word lazy?
Yeah, well, if you... was he talking about the forwards there?
No, I think it's more the midfield. I think it was more honed in on the defensive spread from a losing stoppage when the ball's in, you lock it in and you don't work hard enough 150 metres to help out down the back. It's all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, look, there's no other... it's very hard to make excuses for players when you have the benefit of being able to watch video and watch from behind the goals and look at... certain plays where opposition players run past our players to get in better position, and we weren't prepared to work, and that happened on a number of occasions. So, you know, it's certainly some of the stuff that's been highlighted throughout the week, and clearly it's been highlighted as being unacceptable, and that's from number one player on the list to number 40 whatever players we got on the list, and no one was spared, and clearly we have to, you know, respond from that. That's the challenge. And if we do it again, we'll get the same result, and the players are clear on that.
Yeah. Well, we had Sando on that Monday, and I said, you know what, Sando, they're just not playing as a team. They're not playing for each other. There's no spirit. Then we had Paddy Dangerfield on the next day, and I asked a question that a lot of our listeners said, well, Robbie, you're an idiot. I asked him straight out, Paddy, do you like each other? Now, it's leading me to this. Do you think right now, after 7 games, it's a tight playing group, Skip?
Absolutely. I did hear you mention that about playing as a team, and I think we've all played forever, and I don't think I've played in too many teams where we didn't feel as if we were playing as a team. You know, like clearly there's some things that people go the extra mile, and they're able to show things where they work their butt off to do something for their fellow player. But look, I don't think players intentionally go out there and say, you know what, I'm not going to bother about handballing the rowie or doing anything. I'm just going to worry.
No,
about
I'm not
myself.
Suggesting it like that. It's the
well,
little things.
Saying,
you know,
really.
Well, if you've taken it like that, that's wrong. Mm. And you know when your team's playing for each other and playing your role as a team, Bix, and you know when they're not.
Yeah, look, I think there's playing your role within the team. There's different stages where people haven't done that, but I don't think it's not a conscious effort where, you know what, they tell me to do this, I'm not going to do that because I just want to get the ball for me. It's more the whether it's fatigue, whether it's the duress you're under, whether it's the anxiety of the scoreboard, we're playing a team Melbourne who we should be winning against, and then it's not going our way, whether it's people who have issues with team security where they're thinking, wow, it's the second quarter, I've had one kick and I'm going to be dropped next week or whatever it is. They're the type of things. There's a million things that go through your head when your side's not playing well. And when you're up and going, those things don't enter your head because you're saying, oh, look, this is good. The scoreboard's in our favour. I'm running. I'm doing this. And you're thinking about all positive stuff. And whilst as much as we say, yeah, just put that out of your head and just do what you do. It's very difficult, you know. Like, if you're not playing well and your spot is on the line and you haven't had a kick for a quarter and a half, it's very difficult to say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Just keep running around on the spot and hopefully the ball will come to you. Like, you have those anxieties, and that's some of the stuff that fills your head. Now, the job as coaches is to keep calm and give those guys some direction so that they can be reminded to just keep playing their role and doing the stuff they want to do, and eventually those outcomes will come about for the players. But, you know, sometimes it's easier said than done.
Talk about challenging. How challenging being looking after the front six for the first eight games of the year?
Yeah, look, it's, I think every area is challenging. You know, if you ask Darren Milburn, I think Dashers would say his defence is being challenging as well for us. Midfield's challenging. It's all challenging. So, you know, as we mentioned, we've had some games where we've done it reasonably well. I think up until last week, we were in the top four or five in terms of efficiency going into our forward 50 and scoring. So that was a reasonable result after a slow start. Last week, obviously, really poor. We need to respond again. But it's something it's always evolving, because depending on which team you play, depending on how they set their defence up, you know, like Collingwood this week, they'll have an extra number back. So whatever the number of forwards we play, they'll play one more defender. So you know that that's going to be a challenge, and that we have to be really selective about how we go inside our forward 50. So there's always challenges, and we just adjust slightly depending on which team we play.
Your big blokes holding up their end of the bargain, they might be hitting the scoreboard a little bit better. There doesn't appear to be one that can stand under the footy often enough and bring a crumb and give Betts and your little blokes a decent crumb at the footy. Is that part of your makeup still, or is that, I guess, tall pillar out of that system now?
Look, I don't know. I think both Jenkins and Pod Adley have done fairly well. Last week was poor. I think Melbourne took too many marks inside our forward 50 from our kicks, kicking it in. But prior to that, I thought the Bulldogs, our forwards, were outstanding. You know, Jenkins kicked three and Pod's kicked three. You know, Jenkins, prior to last week, it had two bags of four and a three. Pod's a bit the same, so
don't stand under them, though, do you? I mean, they're not. It doesn't appear like you either play that way, where you need one to stand under, but they just don't. They're not that sort of bloke who will plant both feet and say, "Kick it on my head, and I can hold my ground and bring it to the front."
Yeah, well, look, I don't know whether we want to be doing that too often. You know,
okay.
Like, yes, if we get a one on one or an even number contest, but the minute you sort of just kick it up in the air and big long high balls, it's an open invitation for, you know, this week for Nick Maxwell just to leave his man, come over and just spoil it and punch it away. So we try to be a little bit more selective about how you go into your forward line. Yes, if you can move it quickly and get it down there to those guys before the opposition gets their numbers back, we'd love that. But if we're coming in slow, we try not to kick it on their head too often.
I think I know the answer to this one, but 1-999-1395, we've had about 10 of these along the same line, but I'll read this one out. Am I going to see Eddie Betts, the sole forward, competing in the air against three opponents this Thursday?
Yeah, clearly not. That's not the plan, Roy.
But we get a lot of that. And look, I just think that happened on the weekend, against Melbourne. I know Howe was a direct opponent, Petrenko. He had seven inside 50 chop-off marks. Mm. You know, that's going to happen. But that structure, it's ball movement, it's a number of things. Skip, just let that listener know what you think the result for that would be.
Yeah, look, it's not ideal. But once again, what happens is when you get this anxiety about getting it in there, you know, you have some of your big guys lead or there's some pressure on those guys, and they just feel that pressure and kick it long without lowering their vision. And if your big guys are leading and Eddie's your deepest, we don't mind having Eddie as our deepest, but we generally don't want to be kicking to him as a ball on the head type target. He's a very difficult matchup, and he's got great speed and he's good on the ground, but he's clearly not our marking target. But you're right. You know, we certainly understand that we've gone to him too often, you know, with a long high kick when he's been outnumbered. And, you know, it's clear that's not the plan, and we're Working to not have that happen again.
Mark Bickley, our guest, Realtors Real Estate, making it more possible. Charlie Cameron, good news story this one, Skip.
Yeah, look, been upgraded, so he's a big chance of playing this week. He's come from the clouds, really. He's just pretty lightly built, but electrifying speed. He's got great closing speed on the opposition, so it puts a lot of pressure on, but really clever around goals as well. So I guess one of the things that I just mentioned to someone today is it really is a good news story for our state league team. Like Charlie has been able to, like he's a rookie listed player, but he's played 6 or 7 weeks in the state league, or 6 weeks, where he's played Adelaide Crows structure and systems and knows the jargon and the language that we use. And he's played alongside the last 2 weeks, Taylor Walker and players like that. You know, if he was playing for another SANFL club, I don't think he would have been able to make that step up, or we wouldn't have the confidence in him to do that. But the fact that he's been playing within our structures gives us great confidence that he'll be able to, if he's selected, step up and do the job for us.
History would suggest you upgrade him, you play him.
Yeah, look, there's still got a few guys who are a little bit sore. You know, Dangerfield's had a sore ankle, and Matty Yench has made a fairly remarkable...
Yeah, we heard that.
Yeah, like, so he, whilst he's, you know, by no means over the line, he's really keen to give himself every chance. So what appeared to be broken ribs have
cured.
Responded really well, he's... You know, a slight chance of playing. So, you know, you have to have Charlie upgraded by a certain time if he's going to play.
Right.
So we sort of erred on that side of caution, and if he's required, he's ready to go.
Can I ask you, what is Jared Lyons doing wrong? What aren't you seeing?
Jared's been in great form. I guess one of the areas that we are mindful of is that the style of player that Jared is, he's an in and under clearance type player, and it's probably for us, it's similar to Scott Thompson and Matt Crouch, Matt Wright, and what we don't want to do is have a whole heap of blokes who are banging heads in under the footy, but don't have the balance right in terms of that outside run. Now, Jared could not do any more in that regard in terms of his clearance stuff. His numbers have been phenomenal, but his spread from the stoppage and his covering of the ground is improving week by week. So look, he is right in the mix, and he's clearly someone that we see in our long term plan.
2 weeks ago, Bone jumped off the Walker debate far too early, and I took it for another 20 minutes. I'm not off the Charlie Cameron one. With all due respect, he doesn't come in for Danger if he doesn't get up or Yench. He comes in for a Petrenko type. So surely he's in this week, Skip. Do you want him in the team?
Well, you'll have to wait, Stephen. We've still got some stuff to discuss. We'll catch up tomorrow morning and meet as a match committee, and we've got a number of people who we're still talking about. So that'll be finalised tomorrow, so I can't really comment
on that. Okay. I respect that, but he's got a huge upside. He's a talent. He can play at the level. He can keep it inside 50. He can hit the scoreboard. If it was my call, he's in. The other one, Skip, Brent Riley. 200th game. We had a text last week saying, hold on making the 200 game banner. Where's he at?
Yeah, look, I think clearly he's one that'll be discussed again tomorrow as well. You know, like his position would be under some pressure, along with probably three or four others from last week's game. You know, you don't play the way we did last week and make no changes. So, he's just one who will come under, some scrutiny, I guess, in the next 24 hours. And we'll name our side, I think, late tomorrow afternoon, and you'll have to wait and see how we go.
And I respect that. I mean, I'm mucking around here because, you know, there's a little bit of cloak and dagger. You don't want Collingwood listening and doing it. But Tex, Douglas and Rutten would be gimmies.
Yeah, look, I think Tex, no doubt, will come in. I think we've pretty much said that a couple of games and he's ready to go, and that'll be a big one for us. Richard Douglas, clearly, in our best half a dozen players, he's in our leadership group and been sorely missed over the last couple of weeks, so he'll come in and look, Truck probably not in the same category as those two, but he's a massive chance. I think the last time he played on Butcher up at Clare, went and watched that game, and, Paul kicked probably 21 goals and Butcher took two, and I think they're both in the first quarter or so. So, whilst it wasn't the ideal matchup for him, he did a pretty good job, and he looks to be moving a lot better, so yeah, he's a massive chance.
Hey, Mark, before we let you go, in the old days you would have gone away from a lot of the structures and team stuff that you're trying to develop when it came to a game that you just had to win. You just have to win, and so you forget about everything and just go to war with the team. Those days appear to be past. Is this one of those games, though? Forget about what you've got to do, but is this such a significant game, one of those, we've just got to find a way to win this game, boys?
Yeah, look, I think the premise is absolutely right. We've got to find a way to win the game. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think you do that by going away from what you think works. So it's more, if anything, you go more to it and you emphasise everything more and you try and be better at what the things that you know work really well. So that's our thing this week. Let's just make sure that there's a few things that we've got to make sure we tick the box, and you know, things like winning your share. You're playing Collingwood, who've got some great ball winners in Beams and Pendlebury and Swan and Ball. All those guys are going to want to win the ball, and we've got to get our share to make sure that you know, we give ourselves a chance of scoring as well. So things like that, which, you know, we pride ourselves on our contest the ball, and it's an area where we have been number one in the competition, you know, in recent times. So we need to get back to doing that, get back to using the ball more instinctively and not trying to invent stuff, and being able to, you know, when it's time to kick the goals, to be able to find a way to make sure you kick them. It's time to hit a target, make sure you hit those targets. So, it is a really important game for us, Chris, you're right.
Skip, thanks for that honest account and assessment. I think you filled me and a lot of the fans. We've got a lot of text messages filtering through now with a little bit of hope that there will be a response. It's a sold-out stadium, and it is Adelaide Oval. It's the national stage. It's an arch rival in Collingwood. The group needs to be at their best, and I think they will, Skip. So thanks for your time.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to Thursday night too. I know this has been sold out for 2 or 3 weeks, and it's something that we don't get many showcase games. And you know, I heard some people talking in Melbourne earlier this week, and they're expecting probably over 1 million people watching it.
Wow.
You know, being in Collingwood live back to Melbourne. So great exposure for our club and Adelaide. So we want to make sure we put up a really good show.
Well, Crows at their best, they win. It's a home game. Skip, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mark Bickley there, Elders Real Estate, making more possible. That's a coach. That's a coach right there.
Absolutely. Speaks beautifully. Collingwood has dominated Adelaide in recent seasons. They have won the past 6 matches between the two sides. It's a club record.
I don't care.
Just win. Just win. Mark Bickley, our guest.